So, hi there, Blind Cool Tech. This is Heiko from Germany again. And today we're going to talk about the G-Track USB microphone on the Alesis SR16 drum computer. Just a few notes in before. I won't edit this sound file, so for example to change the effects or turn in some reverb or something similar, just to demonstrate the sound quality of this USB microphone. And the background noise you just hear are the sounds from my computer, which is relatively close to the mic, so it's not the own sound of the mic itself. It's just the sound of the device quite close to it. So it's a kind of demonstration about the quality of this mic. Okay, now, so the USB G-Track, or the USB mic G-Track from Samsung, is a microphone designed not only for singing. It is a desktop mic, so it brings its own stand with it. And you also can mount it to a microphone stand. So that's all you just need. It's quite a big microphone. I will try not to touch it during this demonstration to prevent rumbling the sound. But it's quite big. It has a big head, and it is mainly designed to just record multi-purpose sounds. So, for example, just to record a band session, so making some music. So it's not specially for just singing into it. And this, for example, just enables me to quite relax and sit back, and I don't have to talk directly into the mic and have it directly in front of my face. The assembling of the stand is a bit tricky. I just can't explain it to you in detail just because someone else assembled it for me, but it was not too complicated. So now when it's ready, so it comes all in a little box, which feels quite heavy for the size. And when it's correctly assembled, there's a circular stand, a circular foot, around about 10 centimeters in diameters. And on this circular foot is an upright pin or kind of stick which holds the Microsoft, but Microsoft is okay, which holds the mic in the air. And this stick is not directly in the center, it's quite in the quite near the edge. And now, then, on the top of this upright pin or stand, there comes a kind of screw, and it's on its head. It has a kind of feels just like a helmet, so it's a plastic, plastic. Piece, and from there on the all arrangement goes to the back. So on the behind of this plastic there's the other kind of the mounting, and there's a screw which you can just loose to justify the direction of the mic. But in general we'll just set it up once. Because of the characteristics of the mic, it's not so important that you're just sitting in the direction of the mic, so it shouldn't be any trouble. And directly above this screw is the mic itself. It's a cylindric circular form, and it is turnable in the holding. So, for example, if you just don't like this, the buttons on the side, which I'll describe in a few seconds, if you just don't like them to be at the top, you can turn the mic so that they are pointing to the side. But in general, this is not really needed. It has no effect on the sounds, on the recording. So it's just a loose kind of mechanism that they put the holding so that you just can turn it any way you like it. On the back are the jacks for the USB cable, of course, which powers the mic. It's a condensed microphone. And on the left, you can plug an earphone in, and it comes with an earphone a cable to connect to your earphones. So if your earphones are not long enough, your cable. So if you have just a cable to make the connection longer. On the center, in the back, is the USB plug-in. So that's quite easy to find. And on the right, there's a jack to plug in a mono instrument or a stereo instrument. I will come to this connection, to this possibility, in a few seconds. And these are all the jacks on the mic. On the on one side of the circle, so however you turn it, so we just turn it to make it have the buttons up, are three buttons, and these three buttons can be pressed, depressed, and then they slide into the mic so that they don't look out from the surface. That's quite tricky, so if you just have readily arranged them in the right settings, you can just press down them. Just did this for the first one, the second one, and now the third one. These three knobs have the following function. The one most at the rear of the mic, so very close to the USB cable, is the volume for the microphone. And the one in the middle, so directly next to that, it is the volume for the second for the instrument you can plug in on the right. And on the top, so at the most far away from the USB plug and most near to the microphone head, is the master volume to turn up the mixer in the mic so that it gets louder in your earphones. All the knobs have a little pin on them, so you will easily be able to find out, just by touching them, in which position they stand. So if you just remember your setup for these knobs, you just can turn them without any electronic controlling, without any plugging in earphones. So as I mentioned, on the right side there, you can plug in an instrument, and it's a stereo jack, but the mic can work in two modes, either in just taking in a stereo source from the jack. So, for example, if you're just connecting keyboard, you just can plug in your keyboard and have your complete stereo field. Or you can change the mode so that you have the microphone and the other instrument, so each on one channel. When one gets to listen to this recording, the mic is on, the voice is on one side, and the sound from the instrument is on the other side. For this recording, I'll change this stereo direction later on, because I think if you would have to listen to me talking just on one side, this gets really upsetting or a little bit disturbing. So I thought this wouldn't be necessary just for this demonstration. To switch these things, there are two switches, and they are between the microphone head and the part where the knobs are. There's a ring, and on this ring, when you're just looking into the mic, so as I'm just now talking into it, there are three settings. The mouse left turns it so that it is outputting the output from the computer. This only works, for example, probably if you have set your computer's output to the USB microphone, and it's really, the computer's really putting out something. But for example, if you just do some recording using Audacity, which enables you to listen to your recording, or for example to another track, you'll be able to both monitor your input and with a single switch to monitor the computer's output. And that's really clever. So you can use the USB mic as in and output device in just one simple thing. And the next setup, so the middle position of the switch, it shows the output of the mic with a microphone on, I believe, on the left, and the other instrument on the right. So you just can take your guitar and just listen, so how the mic will put this in your PC without any feedback from the PC. So you just can arrange your volume just by listening, and this is also really clever. We don't need any mixers and any controls on the PC to just assign, are we too loud, are we too slow. Just plug in your earphones and just start on singing, and you can monitor yourself instantaneously. And when using this mic directly, you have no delay as in normal cases when it's bringing back the, when you're just monitoring the sound from the computer. So most times you have a little delay, and this we just can prevent when using this switch. And the most right setting of the switch, which I'm currently using, presents both inputs, so the mic and the connected instrument, in the middle, so in the mono position. So it's quite a little bit easier to listen to yourself when you're just in the middle of this. On right to this switch is the second switch, and this switch just turns on whether you're using the microphone and the instrument as both mono channels, or just wanting to use the instrument jack as stereo source alone. So if you just have, if you just plug in your other instrument, just change a switch and can then play on, and just plug your guitar in and can switch back, so without any further trouble. So those are all the controls on the on the mic. There's a shock mount available. For example, I believe this is for example, when I'm hitting here the table, so it's getting knocking in the mic, and I assume this shock mount will block this kind of knocking of vibration and so on. So maybe I'll buy it, but I haven't it right now. The advantage of this device is it's very quick. So the latency troubles I found out don't seem to be so heavy than the normal sound cards. I haven't read any technical things about this, but I think because this all is made in hardware, the analog digital coding, that this may help it a little bit in when the latency problems comes true. But this, of course, is not really helpful when you're using the multi-track editor like Audacity, and you have to listen to your other track, so you also have a little delay, but it's not too bad, I think. Yes, interestingly, this USB mic comes without any driver and also with no manual on compact disc. There's a little bit of paperwork in the box, but it wasn't very hard to find the manual on the internet. It was a PDF file. I just converted it to text. It's readable, but it's not very accessible, but that doesn't really matter. There are not so much controls, and this is not a very long manual, so it's a multilingual manual, and I think if you're listening to this, you won't need any further instructions. But you just plug the USB mic in, and it just connects yourself as USB audio codec, and that's all. So there's no special hardware installation, and I didn't find any properties to set up, so it just connects and is there. For JAWS users, I would recommend to plug in the USB mic before booting the computer, because I found out whenever I plug it in and JAWS is already running, JAWS gets muted and I have to restart it. And this can be prevented by just connecting the mic before starting up the PC. So why is the case, I don't know, but it just seems to be this case. Okay, so when is this USB mic really helpful? I think, for example, when you're playing guitar and you just want to record yourself without any big trouble. I remember when I was recording some songs in my youth, around about 10 years or 15 years ago, I had a little bit mixer and my tape recorder, and it was really trouble setting it all up. Now I have my desktop microphone, just plug it in the PC and say record, and just can sit in front of the mic using my guitar and my earphones, and I just can prevent, for example, playing too loud the guitar. So for this reason, this mic is really helpful and clever. And this will be also true for playing kind of flutes or clarinets or so. But I haven't done this right now. Maybe I'll upload some demo files playing my guitar. Not because I'm a good guitar player, but just to try to show the sound capacity of this device. Yes, that's all about to say about the... all that is really to say about the USB mic. There's a compact disc in the CD in the box, and this is a CD for Cakewalk Sonar LE. And you just can register it, and you'll get a pair via email or registration code. And so you just, with this mic, you get a Cakewalk Sonar LE. for whether this LE is for limited edition, I don't know. It just seems to be like the. Oh, just I have to wake up my computer again, because it just switched to screen saving mode. That's not really what I want. But you just have a Cakewalk Sonar, and it just looks like the Cakewalk Sonar before, and maybe this is a good way to get a Cakewalk Sonar and later on buy the JAWS scripts. But I haven't done this, and this is a localized German version, so I don't know whether these scripts run with this version or what to do. The first look was it was usable for some parts, but up to now I haven't found a really usable multi-track editor, but this will be in discussion for something else. Okay, now so to the second part of this podcast. This is all about the drum computer LSS SR16. And I just connected these two podcasts because I'll use the USB G track for record this drum computer part. And so I just thought it would be really cool to put this together. And yes, so here we are. First of all, I want to say thank you to Ralf Vossler, which recommended this drum computer to me, and that was a really big surprise, because for a very, very long time I was sure that there would be no drum computer available, and he just had two models ready just in the head and said, "Yeah, you can use these or these," and was really astonished. And when I got this device, I was really very satisfied and thought, yes, this was really usable to me. I got this device for 150 euro via eBay shop, but it was a new product, so it was not used, and so around about 150 euro, I think. The LSS SR16 was made in the 1980s, so it's kind of gotten old, but this may have changed a little bit in sound quality. But for a drum computer, if you don't want to use it the whole day or something else, it's really no bad deal. And just because the second alternative would have meant to me pay twice the amount, I think it was the good way to me. How does the device look like? It is a quadratic. It's a I don't have the right word. So it's not rectangle, but all the sides are the same. And all the sides are around about 15 to 16 centimeters. I haven't just measured it, but it's a very good stand. It looks a little bit like let's say like a very big tape recorder or some kind of typing machine. So it's quite flat. Let's get a little bit higher to the edge on the behind, and that's what it feels like. And on the top you have a bunch of rubber covered buttons, which I'll describe in detail in a few seconds. On the top, very on the top, also on the far edge, you have a big LCD display, and it is around about 10 centimeters wide and around about 5 centimeters high. So for those of you visually impaired, you just may able to use some of these. In the right of this, there's a very big round knob with a little point on one side. This is the volume knob, would be a wrong word. It's almost a kind of turntable, so it's a really big knob. Below this, there are on the left a block of buttons, and it is three rows and six buttons wide, so a block of six buttons from left to right and three rows. And on the top row we have, starting from the left, the buttons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then the up arrow on the second row, the 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, and the down arrow on the third row, the start, then the stop, then the A, then the B, and then the fill button. What this really means, I'll come to it in a few moments. Next to this block is a block of 9 buttons, and next to that there are two buttons, right, one above the other. They are very on the right side of this device, and they are rectangular. So these two buttons, I'll start with, are the tempo up and down or the page up and page down buttons. The block of the 9 buttons are as follows. The top left is the pattern song button. In the middle is the user preset button. And on the right is the perform and compose button. On the second row, there's the first button is drum setup. The second is record setup. And the third is MIDI setup. The third row, so the last row, on the left is copy. Next to this is remove, or erase is the correct word. And the bottom right, so the bottom right button is the backup button. Below this are two rows of very big buttons. The two rows are via six, so six from left to right and two rows. And these are the drum pads. We'll get to push on them in a few seconds. Sorry. on the rear panel, on the rear side of the unit, on the left there is a big power switch, and it's off when it's sticking out of the device. So when it's more in it, it's turned on. Next to this, this is the power jack, and the device is using a 9 volt AC power adapter, which is shipping with it. The device doesn't work on any batteries, and so that's I think it's minus in the center when I just remember right from the manual, but it's described in the manual how this adapter has to be configured. Next to this power jack are two, I think it's quarter inch, it's 6.3 millimeters in German, so I hope I'm not wrong when saying it's a quarter inch. Two quarter inch jacks, both for the 4-2 foot switch pedals. I haven't used any, so I cannot exactly describe what they're for. One, for example, can be used to enable start stop with a pedal, and one, for example, can be used to switch patterns, for example, from A to B, from B to A, and so on. We'll get to this in a moment. Next to that, there are two round jacks, that these are the MIDI jacks. So the device is complete MIDI device. You just can just use it and feed some MIDI data into it. Right, these are 4 quarter-inch jacks, and these are the output jacks, and there are 2 stereo fields you just can use. So these 4 are 4 mono channels. So you have very left, soft left, and the soft right, and very right. So you just can have 2 stereo fields using. Interestingly, when you just plug, for example, your earphones into one of these jacks, it remembers that there's only one jack connected, and uses this as stereo output. So you just don't have to make strange adapters for using your earphone. You just plug it in, and that's really clever. Yes, and these are all the other 3 sides are just plain plastic. So there's nothing special to say about it. I'll now turn on the unit, and it makes 2 clicks, one when it's got power and when it's ready booted. I think now I push the button. Now it is ready booted. Before we go on and talk about how to use this device, I'll just let the unit introduce itself by playing the demo. And the demo is played by holding down the pattern song button and the play button, and here it goes. Yeah, I think that was really a bunch of this. Yes, George just gets to say something else. Okay, we'll just stop it. Okay, now, so we just learned how the unit sounds like. Now, for those of you not very get used to the drum computers, I will explain a bit about the concept behind this. The idea behind this is to use patterns and to compose songs out of these patterns. So for example, if you say I just have a pattern for the chorus and have a pattern for the verse for this part of the song, you just compose the patterns. And after one, you just chain the patterns together to a song. Okay, and these patterns are always counted in beats, and we just can start recording those patterns. The device uses 50 preset patterns, which we cannot change in any case, and 50 user patterns. And this fact that we cannot change the presets in any kind is very important for us. So we just can't break anything. On the other hand, the unit, the drum computer, remembers where we left off. So if we break our work and just stop our work and want to continue next morning, so we're just sitting where we left off. This can be a little bit problematic when we return to the unit and we didn't know what we did last time. There are some... We just can try to get back to a knowing position, for example, by pressing play and listen to what's playing, and maybe we remember it, and just when, and then we can use the arrow keys to navigate through the thing that's just selected, and maybe we'll get a trick or a hint. For example, if we just find our patterns, we know we are in user in pattern mode. These buttons, pattern song, user preset, and compose, perform, are toggle buttons. And so when we wake up after, for example, half a year, we don't know in which mode are we. Fortunately, when we are in compose mode, the unit starts ticking, so just to give us audible feedback, so audible metronome. This can be changed, but by startup this is set up, and so we can find out whether we're in compose mode or not if we just hear this ticking. And using these techniques, we are able to find our way back. So now, let's how to continue. Okay, now we will start off trying to make our own first pattern. So I was in song mode, so I just press 1, the pattern song mode, when we're in pattern mode. And we have been in user mode, because I still know that I had used user song. And so now we are in pattern mode, in user mode, and in perform mode, because I played that song last time and didn't record it. And now, for example, we switch to pattern 10, user pattern 10, by pressing the 1 and the 0. And the device works as follows. When the device expects a 2-digit number, we have to press the 2 numbers within 3 or 2 seconds. And if we don't, the system just reverts our input and stays where it has been before. So we now have just turned to user pattern 10, and when I press the play button, it should hopefully do nothing. Yeah, it does nothing. And now I push down the perform compose mode to switch to compose mode, and this is how it sounds like. Yeah. So we just had heard a bit louder click. This is the 1. So now we can adjust our speed by pressing down the page down or tempo down button, and this is how it goes. Okay, and we here have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So now it is making 8th notes, and it's 2. Two measures long. You know what I mean. So 16 beats or 2 measures. And I just stop for a while. So this is our metronome, and now we get to the 6 big buttons below this. On the bottom row, and when we punch, when we knock on these buttons, we just play our drums. And you can set up your drums however you like. So not only has the drum computer 50 drum patterns, it also has 50 drum sets. 50 preset drum sets and 50 user drum sets. And so we just can adjust them. And it is recommended that we use the same drum set number as the pattern number. Now we're just using, I don't know, maybe another drum set. To change the drum set, we don't change the drum set right now because it's getting too long. Maybe I do this in the second podcast, because it's would take us a little while, and maybe for those of you that just want to get started, I'll skip this part for now. If one of you just can wait, just send me an email. I'll try to send you a description. But in the manual, it's explained very detailed. So the manual was in a PDF format to be downloaded, but it just got a HTML version from Google, and I found out that everything that's important is written really in text, so all the buttons and so on. It's good work, and it's a good idea to use this as a reference, so you just don't have to remember all these steps from this podcast and rewind and forewind this podcast to remember what I'm doing. So you just can use the manual. And if you're interested in, I'll be able to send it to you by email. And I also made a little Excel sheet where I put in the keys, because when I'm using it after maybe a few months, I always forget which button was this, which, and so I just let me tell my sighted person and type in this Excel sheet, so this also I can send to you via email. Now, we just want to record something, and this drum computer is able to use quantization. Quantization means it's kind of rounding. So if you start hitting one of the drums when recording, this beat is moved to the next exact position in the pattern. And for this, you can adjust the quantization level. For example, I want to quantize to 16th notes. You just can adjust this and do this multiple times. For example, first you say you want to have your bass drum, your first drum, quantized to quarter notes. And you just go into record set and there choose the quantization level quarter, and then record your bass drum. And then, for example, you want to record other drums in eighth note quantization, you just change the quantization level and then go and record the other drums. I also won't explain the quantization methods here right now, because also it would take this getting too lengthy. I think this quantization is now set to 16th note. That's the default setting, I think. So we'll now just start on again, and I'll hit one drum at first beat, and then we'll listen and we'll note that this beat is coming back, and so we can just assemble our beat together. So here we go. for now. I push down the drums some more, so on every quarter note. And as you hear, it recorded not also that I hit the drum, but also recorded that I hit one of the beats a little bit slower. It's getting a little bit not so loud. So this is dynamic. There are also possibilities to make a fixed volume setting for drum, but there's not some point right now. So now we make a second drum in the middle, so in the empty clicks. Okay, and now if we want to try something out, but we don't want to record this, we just keep on and perform compose mode while playing, and then we can just fiddle around a bit and try some beats out, and when we feel satisfied, we can switch back to compose mode and keep on recording. So let's do so. Now compose mode is off. Push some drums. Now I don't do it anymore, and there's nothing to be recorded. Okay. Just use another drum. And for example, let's say we want to record this, what I just did. I just switch back to compose mode. And now... Now we've just imagined, we now just have recognized the effect of quantization. So if you remember, I recorded the beats with a little delay of the high drum, and when it recorded it, it just moved it directly on the same beat as the high drum. And this shows it has been an eighth note quantization, and so it just has corrected it to this setting. That's okay, and this helps us getting to just set up a pattern very easy, and I think this is really clever. Now, to the A, B, and fill buttons. Any of these patterns consists of an A and B and two fill buttons. Patterns, sorry. So what's this all about? The idea behind is this. Normally you have in a single song at least two basic rhythms, for example verse and chorus, and when you change from one to another, you want to have a little bridge, and for this is used the fill pattern. So every pattern has its attached fill pattern, and it's used to fill the gap from the first part pattern to the second pattern. So A fill is meant from filling from A to B, and B fill is meant filling from B to A. And the fill just gets started when you press the fill button when playing, and the pattern sets in on the beat you press it. So if you have a fill button, a fill pattern, which is 2 measures long, and you push down the fill button, for example, on beat 5, on note 5, you just have 3 beats to fill with the fill button. So, button, fill pattern. So that's why it's called fill pattern. And by because of practical reasons, the fill pattern never plays the first beat of a measure. So, because if it would do, it wouldn't fill. And it plays the first beat of the measure that will be started with the other pattern. For example, when you push down the fill button on the fill button on beat 5 of a 2 measure long pattern, for example, from A, it will be playing the beats from 5 to 8 on the current measure, and the first beat from the next measure in fill pattern, and from the second beat or from there on, it'll be playing the B pattern. And the manual explains it that this is to be used so that you can make a cymbal crash on the end of the fill pattern, and you don't have to use any special patterns for this, but just for and just to have this feel fit to the musical usings. I don't know. I think it's a clever idea. It sounded very very clever to me, and I think that's they knew what they did. So when we talk about 50 user patterns, we talk about 50 user patterns with an A and B and 2 fill patterns. The fill patterns are attached to the A and B patterns. So when we copy patterns, just have to reanimate JAWS again. So when we use these, when we copy a pattern, we copy also the fill pattern with it. That's important to note. Copying is, for example, interesting if you want to use a variant of the preset pattern. Just say, hey, well, I just want to use this, but with a little bit modification. You just can copy it, want to use your patterns, and and use these. You do this by at any it is attached, it's appended to the existing user pattern, so it's not overridden, it's just appending it to this. So let's try it out. We just set a change from user mode to preset mode. I hope this will really work. Okay, and now I'll type in, let's say, pattern 08. Let's hear it. I think we should turn it up a bit more. Oh no. This is getting a boring pattern. We just press arrow up, so this is not really interesting. Ah, yeah, that's more cool. Okay, now, I hope I'll do this really right. Now, to copy this, I'll hold down the copy button. This is on the bottom left of the 9 arrow of the 9 button block. So I push down copy, and then type in the parent I want to copy it to, for example 1, 0, this is what we just edited once, and then I press play, and then it should read on my screen, I just can read it, copy done. And now we are back to our user preset we just copied. So we now push the user preset button again and type in 1, 0, and now we should hear our previously recorded pattern appended to that the new pattern. So let's hear, listen to it. Okay, it seems to be that it didn't work. I'll just give it another try. I'm sorry that I did it wrong this way. 09. This is what we want to copy. Yeah. So let's try it again. So I'll just press copy. Press user preset to set switch to user preset modes. Then put in 1, 0, and press the play button again. And now let's hear where we are now. Okay, we're still in preset pattern 9, so we press user preset again and switch to pattern 10. And now I hope this will really be appended. Okay, now it worked. Okay, so what I forgot the first time was I thought that we only can copy patterns to our user patterns, so we just can change our preset patterns. And because of that, I thought that it wouldn't be necessary to press to switch from preset to user mode, but obviously we have to do so. So when to copy a preset pattern, we have to 1. Select the source pattern. 2. Push and hold down the copy button. 3. Switch back to user mode. Still hold down the copy button until I say to release it. Then type in the number of the destination pattern. Still holding the copy button. And then push the play button. And then we can release the copy button. And then what we just got is when the pattern is empty, it's overridden with a new pattern, with a copy pattern, and when there was already data, it's just appended. So using this, we just can simply chain our own patterns. So what I just played is not very helpful, but you see the trick. Okay. Making a song is quite the same. We just go in song mode, push just do it. Okay, now I push the pattern song button. I still am user mode, and let's say we're also using song 10. We'll just hear it. There's nothing. Okay. When I now switch to compose mode, I should be able to type in my user pattern to play. So I type in 1, 0, and I just press play now. So now I just pressed stop, and I'll switch from compose mode back to perform mode, and then when we start press play again, we should hear the just recorded two patterns and nothing more. Yeah, it really worked. So, what I did, I switched to song mode, and was in user mode already. I pushed down compose mode. Then I was able to type in the number of my pattern. So from there on, I also could have switched back to preset mode and use, for example, a preset pattern. And then I pressed play and recorded, so to say, these patterns. And it simply recorded that we wanted to use this pattern twice. We could keep on recording this way, and so we can quite easily chain together songs. And yes, I think that will be quite enough for this session. There's a lot more you can do. You can just change what kind of, for example, you can just use a preset pattern but use another drum set or something else. You can adjust the volume of the drums, you can place the drums in the stereo field, and many more, but I think that this would be very much more than just to introduce this unit. It's just too mighty to do all this in one single run. So maybe many of you would getting bored by this. Okay, now I think this is all to say for this session. I would be interested whether you would like follow up, for example, for showing the record setup or drum setup and things of these. My email address is Heiko, heiko_folkerts@web, this is web.de. Yeah, and last not least, I just want to say thank you to all who did some podcasts on Blind Cool Tech. I'm very interested listener from Blind Cool Tech, and got a bunch of really cool ideas from this, so I'll be glad to hear something more of you. This, of course, was the kickoff to just record this podcast to give back something I found out pretty cool. Yeah, and so much from now, from Heiko from Germany.